This is Serenade Radio with the best in easy listening. Now here's Mark Stein with Stein's Song of the Week.
Sometimes a song is so recognisable, you don't need to hear a line of lyric or a phrase of the sung melody. Sometimes all you need is one bar of the intro. Okay, that's enough of that. That's what they call a vamp, as in vamp till ready, a repeating musical figure that the band plays until the singer's finished acknowledging the roar of the crowd and is ready to start warbling. But there's no vamp like that vamp. Mel Torme and George Shearing.
You know what we're going to do now, right? Are ringing for me and my gal. The birds are singing for me and my gal. Everybody's been knowing to where they're going, and for weeks they've been sewing every Susie and Sal. And when I tell them, and I'm so. Joke's over, George. They got it. Come on. That I'm the guy. Georgie, enough already, will you?
Mel, don't stop me. I'm getting to where I like it, too.
Well, as Mel said, we all got the joke. But here's the actual number that vamp is meant to precede. An iconic anthem to a great city. A song that has the swagger and the size of it. By the way, three of the four guys Frank Sinatra name checks here we'll be hearing from in the next few minutes.
Vinnie Falcone takes the baton now to conduct one of the most exciting pieces of music of all of my years. This Don Costa arrangement of the Fred F. John Candle love song to the city that never sleeps and the ball team that lost. Start spreading the news. I'm leaving today.
A nice place to visit, but I wouldn't want to live there.
New York.
They always
York.
Say it's a nice place to sightsee, but I wouldn't want to live there.
New York.
Of course,
New
I do
York.
Like a do on Park Avenue, or to view a canoe at the Central Park Zoo, or stare at the glare of the Broadway lights, or go to Madison Square. To catch the fights, well, they can all pack a comb, hurry home. But me, I like the life I live there.
New York,
and they
New
can
York.
All take the train back to Maine. But me, I live the life I like there. For the Bowery bums, the plaza, the slums, the automat and the stork. I love
get it right the first time. That's John Kander on piano and backing vocals with Fred Ebb singing, and their initial attempt at the title song for the 1977 film New York, New York. The director, Martin Scorsese, and Liza Minnelli thought it was fine, but her co-star Robert De Niro wanted a word with Scorsese, and the two guys took a stroll to the other side of the room. En route, there was gesticulating from De Niro, and Kander and Ebb did not think gesticulating was a good sign. Eventually, Scorsese returned and informed them that Bob wasn't happy and wanted a new song. As I said, Liza liked it, and in the course of a four-decade partnership that produced hit shows and films such as Cabaret in Chicago, Kander and Ebb's longest professional relationship was with Liza Minnelli. They were her in-house songwriting team, and she was the third member of their double act. Kander and Ebb and Liza went all the way back to what was for all three their first Broadway show back in the mid-60s, Flora the Red Menace, as Liza recalled to me on TV many years later.
We were so young, and we were hungry, and we were enthralled, and we were filled with ambition and a lot of talent. But we didn't know where we were going.
I'm not so sure about that. John, Fred and Liza may not have known where they were going, but I reckon they knew where they wanted to go.
Start spreading the news. I'm leaving today.
Title number of New York, New York. They were furious at having to write a new song at the behest of Robert De Niro. As John Kander told me, they wrote it in a kind of rage. Fred Ebb semi-contemptuously threw out a line, "Start spreading the news," and John went to the piano and started spreading it. It's one of those quintessential New York artifacts full of Big Apple attitude. Start spreading the news? Who cares if you're leaving today? Big deal. But millions, maybe billions, around the world do want to be a part of it, do want to make it there. Likewise, many other millions are left cold by the whole big town braggadocio. They can't stand it. My old colleague from the Independent newspaper, the late Miles Kington, once wrote a column headlined, "If they can make it there, why can't they keep it there?" But for these guys, wanting to be part of the reason it's the city that doesn't sleep is entirely sincere. John Kander's from Missouri. In fact, his great-nephew, Jason Kander, was recently Secretary of State for Missouri. And John was out there dreaming of the bright lights. Fred Ebb was born in New York, but he was working as a trucker's assistant and at a hosiery business, and the Great White Way was so near and yet so far. Liza's story is different. She's Judy Garland's daughter, but making it there means making it as you, not as your mama's little kid. Way back in 1965, on that Broadway debut, Flora the Red Menace, their director for that big break was the legendary George Abbott, who directed all Rodgers and Hart's big hits and the first shows of Leonard Bernstein, Julie Stein, Sammy Cahn, Frank Lesser, on and on. And as John, Fred and Liza told me, Mr. Abbott wasn't too keen on Liza even auditioning.
Mr. Abbott was sort of anti-Liza at that particular moment. He didn't want her to audition. And the day she did audition, he had a very loud voice. And as she was introduced, they said, "Well, this is Liza Minnelli." And she started to walk across the stage, and he screamed practically, "Well, this is a waste of time." And I found out later, although it was no surprise to me, Liza heard him.
After the first reading, said, "I was wrong. You're going to be really good."
I remember he turned to me once and said, this is the most talented little girl I've ever worked with.
And yet, in the end, the show wasn't a commercial hit. Does that matter when it's kind of...
Well, I think you'd have to define hit. It may not have been a hit. It certainly wasn't a hit in terms of Broadway or commerce or et cetera. But for Johnny and me and Liza, it was a smash.
And Fred Ebb was quite right. From that first forgotten flop, everything else followed. And Johnny and Fred and Liza wound up kings of the hill.
Start spreading the news. I'm leaving today. I wanna be a part of it. New York, New York. These vagabond shoes.
It's a showstopper that brags it's a showstopper, and it might have been, if only the film hadn't flopped. But flop it did. Maybe Robert De Niro should have spent less time worrying about the song and more time fretting about the script and the direction and his own performance. In fairness, at the Academy Awards, New York, New York did get a Best Song nomination, but it lost to You Light Up My Life, which may be the lousiest Oscar verdict in that category since They Can't Take That Away From Me was beaten by Sweet Leilani 40 years earlier. But it's a terrible thing to write a song that announces itself as the biggest thing ever and then loses to You Light Up My Life. What lit up the song was another singer who'd known Liza since she was a baby. Here I am with the man who was Frank Sinatra's pianist and musical director, Vincent Falcone Jr., or as Frank called him, Vinny. It's one of the best known pieces of music anywhere.
Absolutely.
And you were there, present at the creation. Did you know, when you went into the studio and you begin to conduct Don Costa's arrangement, that this is just going to be a blockbuster, or did you think, oh, this is just side two, track three?
Oh, no, no. I am fortunate in that I have a photograph of Mr. Sinatra and I. I'm sitting at the piano, he's standing behind me, and he handed me the sheet music to New York, New York, and he said, play this for me. This was when he had gone to see the movie with Robert De Niro and Liza Minnelli, New York, New York, and heard the song. And he brought me the sheet music, and he said, play this for me. We were in rehearsal at NBC, and I played it. And we knew right away that this song had to be. No one could have conceived the end result. It grew as it went. But when I first started to work with him on the song, there was no doubt that it was going to be a big success. Never realized to the degree that it became a success. As you point out, it's one of the most recognizable pieces of music that exists.
Start spreading the news. I'm leaving today. I want to be part of it. New York, New York. These vagabond shoes are longing to stray right through the very heart of it. New York, New York.
At one point, he said, we will never record a song again until we've done it on stage for 4 or 5 months, because he wanted to have the opportunity to fully develop the idea of the song until he got it to the point where he wanted it. As an example, when we did New York, New York, we recorded it once and he wasn't happy with it. So when we did the next album, we recorded it again. And it was then, by that time, we had performed it on stage. As a matter of fact, New York, New York started off being in the overture of a concert that we did at Carnegie Hall. Don Costa had written a new overture, which was all New York songs, and it ended with the introduction into New York, New York. And in that introduction, he would walk on stage and sing New York as the opening song in the show. Well, after the third night, he said to me, we can't do this. He says, we were getting such a roar out of the audience. He realized that he can't open with that. So I wrote an ending to the overture, took the chart of New York, New York out of the overture, and we moved it down into the show until eventually it became the closing song. That was a development that he did until we recorded it, and the end result was this dramatic way of singing this song, and everywhere we ever played it, people were on their feet. You know, it's quite an achievement.
Buenos Aires, but as Vinny said, it could have been almost anywhere else on the planet. Nevertheless, a standard is supposed to be a song you can do 1,000 different ways. Crawl tempo ballad, big and swinging, bossa nova, rockabilly. But that vamp is so insinuating that everybody does it the same way. From Tiny Tim...
Start spreading the news. I'm leaving today.
To Freddie Mercury and Queen. Is there any other way to do it? Well, maybe. Before he was a successful composer, John Kander was a dance arranger on Broadway. As a matter of fact, he was the dance arranger for that smash hit show Gypsy. And once, for a television show, I asked John to sit down at his piano and show us what it is that a dance arranger actually does.
Fred Ebb and I wrote a song called New York, New York. And if that were in a show, the dance arranger would take certain elements of it and play around with it depending on what the choreographer wanted to do. For instance, in New York, New York, there's a vamp that goes like this. Now, suppose the extension of that in the piece were to be a lyrical pas de deux. And he might take an element of that vamp and do something like, oh. Or if there was a big waltz that was a part of the extension of it, it could be. That sort of thing.
Well, maybe there's a place for that sort of thing, but no one seems inclined to take John Kander up on the versatility of his song. On the other hand, Frank Sinatra certainly knew another way to sing New York, New York, because he'd done it way back on the big screen in 1949.
Yeah, we never been here before.
Ah, what can happen to you one day? What do you think you're gonna do?
New York, New York, a wonderful town. The Bronx is up and the battery's down. The people ride in a hole in the ground. New York, New York, it's a wonderful town.
Frank Sinatra, Gene Kelly, and Jules Munshin with the first hit song called New York, New York, by Leonard Bernstein, Betty Comden, and Adolph Green from the film adaptation of their hit show On the Town. And just to bring it all full circle, the fellow who directed On the Town on Broadway was George Abbott, the guy who didn't want Liza Minnelli to audition for Kander and Ebb's first show. If you're the director of a show with New York, New York, a hell of a town in its score, you're sitting pretty. And Mr. Abbott appreciated the song until Kander and Ebb came along. Here's what he told me when he was 106.
I always thought that was the best New York song, but I must confess that new one is better. The one that's the girl, little girl sings.
Liza Minnelli.
Yeah.
You think that's better than your New York, New York?
Yeah.
Did you ever tell Leonard Bernstein that?
No.
And maybe we'll do the story of the first New York, New York on one of these shows in the future. But that's why Kander and Ebb's later song is officially called Theme from New York, New York. Because of Sinatra's association with both songs, Vinnie Falcone put them together and used the earlier number as a kind of introductory verse for the later number. And it was always thrilling to see Sinatra do this version on stage. Here are Frank and Vinnie and the Buddy Rich Orchestra live in the Dominican Republic.
New York, New York. Town. The Bronx is up and the battery's down, and the people ride in the hole in the ground. New York, New York, it's a hell of a town.
New
I'm leaving today. I want to be a part of it. New York, New York, these vagabond shoes, they are longing to stray right through the very heart of it. New York, New York, I want to wake up in a city that doesn't sleep.
With Vinnie Falcone conducting Don Costa's arrangement. Music by John Kander, words by Fred Ebb. New York, New York was very quickly taken up as the anthem of the New York Yankees. That's baseball for you rugby and cricket fans. When they won, the Yankees would play Frank's version. When they lost, they played Liza's. That's one of the all-time greatest musical jokes. Miss Minnelli, alas, didn't care for it and insisted that after winning games, the Yankees should play her record. So they said, nuts to that lady, we won't play your version at all. And that bizarre standoff also captures the swagger and attitude of the city that doesn't sleep and the song that encapsulates it.
Stein's Song of the Week was presented by Mark Stein and produced for Serenade Radio by Brian Savin.